play your game, have some fun.
Now I gotta take it to a different level. There's a different level.
The thing that makes you guys special is you never quit.
We deserve to win this game. Make history. Make history.
We kind of all wanted to be in the One Shining Moment video.
One, two, three. Yeah.
March Madness is upon us. The NCAA holds its men's and women's college basketball tournaments this month. A time for brackets and betting and the annual One Shining Moment video that we've been hearing. That's the 2018 edition. Well, it's also a good reason to hear from our in-house sports experts, GPB reporter Ross Terrell and Morning Edition producer Taylor Ganter here. They're going to talk us through the Georgia connections to this year's tournament. Hello, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning. Well, Taylor, I'm going to start with you. Georgia and Georgia Tech face some pretty solid competition this season, and they're not going to get a chance to win it all. But let's talk about who is at least representing the state. Georgia State made the brackets. The team finished number one in the Sun Belt Conference. So how did the Panthers play this year to earn this spot?
Right. So if you're a fan of immense underdogs, and this is the team for you, they're coming in, highly seeded, or lowly seeded, I guess you could say. They won the Sun Belt Championship. That's how they got an automatic bid to play in the NCAA tournament. When you're in a smaller conference, you know, you don't usually get picked by the committee. You just earn a spot by winning your championship. So they're in. They're led by a player by the name of DeMarcus Simmons. So if you're looking for him, number 15 in blue and white. He averaged 18 points a game, and along with the rest of his team, they like to shoot a lot of three-pointers. So it's kind of the way that the NBA is going. It used to be about big guys, now it's about Steph Curry, James Harden. Shoot as many threes as you possibly can and live with the consequences.
So Ross, in 2015, GSU was the 14 seed team facing number 3 Baylor, and then this happened.
He misses! Sipes the rebound!
Gotta push this to the basket. Take it to the basket, guys. 9 seconds!
No timeouts left.
What are they doing?
RJ Hunter for three. Good!
What's happening in this clip?
What you are hearing there is the madness of March. That is a underdog team, I think a game winner to knock off a number 3 seed. And that is why we love this time of the year, because you never know. I mean, nobody expects Georgia State to beat Baylor. Nobody expects Georgia State to beat Houston this year, and they probably won't.
And probably the most amazing part of that clip, obviously our radio listeners can't hear it, the coach, Ron Hunter, is sitting on a stool because he tore his Achilles tendon celebrating the win before this one. So he's literally sitting on a stool. His son hits the game-winning shot to beat number 3 seeded Baylor. He's celebrating. He falls over. You know, they're trying to pick him up off the ground so they can play defense. It was truly amazing to watch.
So at least some family drama going on there. But the Sun Belt Conference in which GSU plays is not that competitive. So the Panthers are underdogs, as Taylor said, in the 14th seed again this year. They play third seed Houston on March 22nd. Could we see another surprise upset?
No. Not from them.
In the realm of possibility, anything is available.
Possible, but we won't see it from them this year. We'll see upsets. But I think Houston is solid, and they are 3. Georgia State, you got in, cool. Enjoy dancing while you're there.
They certainly have a shot. I'll put it that way. They got a shot.
Well, the men's teams were named for the tournament on Selection Sunday. Women's teams announced on Selection Monday. So just last night, we find out which schools made it. Any Georgia teams going to be on the court for women?
So once again, we have another long shot team representing Georgia. Would be the Mercer Bears, are coming in at a 15 seed. They're led by Kiki Calloway, number 0, if you're looking for her on the court. 18 points a game. She leads the team in the number of threes shot. But once again, as our cynic Ross Terrell would say, very big long shot against Iowa. They also play on Friday. So it's going to be a tough road for either one of these teams to make a buzz in this tournament.
All right. So on second thought, does reach listeners in South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, any teams from the region make the men's tournament?
The men's or women's?
Men's or women's.
Okay, well, I'll start with the women's.
Good job.
South Carolina, they are a number 4 seed in the women's tournament. I actually have them going to the Final 4. They are a solid team. You've got the North Carolina and the men's bracket. You've got Kentucky. You've got Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, I think, is one of the most complete teams in the tournament. So if you're within the region, pay close attention, because an NCAA victory could be coming back to our surrounding states.
Okay, so Taylor, we know football is traditionally the most popular sport here in Georgia. Where does college basketball rank when it comes to fans' interest?
So there was an interesting article in the AJC that came out, I believe, last week. It took a WalletHub study, and it found that the city of Atlanta, not speaking for the whole state now, but the city of Atlanta was 192nd when it came to cities for college basketball fans. That's a pretty crazy number, and it ranked off of things like fan participation and then team success. And so obviously we really haven't had a lot of big time winners. You know, for Georgia Tech, it was the early 2000s. They made it to a national championship game. And for Georgia, it was even longer back than that. I think it was the mid-90s. They made the Sweet 16. But it's been up and down. And when you have like your top two sports schools, you know, they're kind of all in on football right now. It's difficult to garner that kind of, interest and attention when the product's not that great.
Mm-hmm. So, but are there any other Georgia ties to the tournament? A star player born here, someone who used to coach here, someone who flew into Hartsfield-Jackson Airport once?
So I don't know what the connection is specifically with Kentucky, but there's two players there that were top high school athletes here in the state. Ashton Hagans, or Haggins if you prefer, he came out of Newton High School in Covington. He leads the team in steals and assists, and obviously Kentucky is a powerhouse. EJ Montgomery also plays for the team. He comes out of Wheeler High School in Marietta. And then just down the road over in Mississippi for Miss State, Reggie Perry, who played over in Thomasville, he is their top rebounder and very reliable player for them. So, you know, it's not like we don't create great basketball players here in Georgia. They usually just don't stick around.
Okay, so of course, March Madness, kind of like the World Cup for the Super Bowl, in that it brings in fans who might not watch during the regular season. So Ross, how far does the popularity of the tournament go in sparking broader interest in the sport, you think?
I think, you'll have a lot of eyes on it this year. There was a massive college basketball scandal in which the FBI was looking at coaches paying for players. So I think people are interested to tune in and see how those teams were affected, how they perform. It's also a lot of fun. The chances of having what we call a perfect bracket, meaning picking every game right, I think you have a better chance of being struck by lightning while winning the lottery. It just doesn't happen. And you're talking about millions of brackets being entered on ESPN. There are tons of groups, workplace competition. But I will say, back to your other question, Atlanta might want to get together because they are hosting the NCAA Final Four next year.
Mm-hmm.
And being 192nd might not look too great if we hope to bring it back.
Well, you know, this morning I was listening to Marketplace, and GPB's own Ricky Bevington had a story on Marketplace about how Major League Soccer is more popular than ever, and that the whole organization got together to market it by showing games from other countries, sort of stirring up the interest. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe college basketball or basketball in general might be able to do the same kind of thing?
You know, potentially so. I think it's a little more difficult because of the way that college basketball works nowadays, where you have a system where the top players, it's called the one and done, they come to college for 1 year because that's required before they move on to the NBA. So in places without a lot of, you know, history, like if you're a Duke or a Kentucky, then you have this really, you know, built-in fan base that's been following for years. But it's tough because if you do get a great player at a school, say like Ben Simmons, who was the top pick a few years ago for LSU, they're gone the next year, and whatever, you know, kind of momentum they brought goes with them. So, you know, I think with that kind of system, it's tough to start with a groundswell if you don't have that history behind it.
All right, I want to pick up something Ross said about, you know, maybe the office pool, but betting on sports is illegal in Georgia, we just want to say for the record. But it is kind of standard practice to try and predict the NCAA tournament's outcome. So are March Madness pools with friends and family really off limits?
As far as the law goes?
Yes.
I think so. I mean, do I partake? I won't answer that, but I know people.
I'm shocked that there is gambling going on in the back room.
Yeah, I think there are, like ESPN tournaments or CBS, there are chances to win prizes if you have the best bracket, you know, maybe win a car here, but you're not wagering anything. As far as family and friends go, if you keep it small, if you keep it, you know, civil and don't end up in court over a lost bet, it happens all the time. There are much larger issues in college sports that federal officials are interested in than whether or not somebody won or lost $10 on the bracket.
Very much so.
So this is not a bet, but which team do you think will win?
I'd have to put, if there was any sort of fictional money on the table, it would have to be on the university, or just Duke University. It has to be them. Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, two of the top players coming into the NBA draft this season. You're going to see them in the NBA. They have the most horses. They have the most talent.
All right. Ross is harumphing and shaking his head back here.
I want to point out the word of the day yesterday on dictionary.com was bracketology. And that is a system of diagrammatically predicting and tracking the process of elimination in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I don't think Taylor knows what that word means based on his pick. I learned this at a young age through the ice cream money that I lost. You never trust Duke in the NCAA tournament in a year like this. I'm taking North Carolina to beat Michigan State.
They won like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, but they didn't have the Zion hype. They didn't have this hype. I like Coach K, but I'm taking North Carolina. I'm also Ohio State. Watch out.
How about which team are you rooting for? You know, maybe not win, but you'd love to see win.
Well, if we're talking in a world of fantasy, then the Georgia State Panthers all the way. I mean, they're gonna defy the odds.
How deep fantasy do you want to go?
Well, even in my fantasy, in my bracket, I think I have them going to the round of 32. And that's about as far as they'll get, if they even get that far.
How about for you, Ross?
The Ohio State University. Watch out. I mean, they're not going anywhere. Let's be realistic. They had an up and down year. Their top player just came back from suspension. But Buckeyes at any given time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one for real question. Let's talk about Georgia basketball. Beyond the college game, the Atlanta Hawks having a pretty tough season, ranked near the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Do you think that affects interest in March Madness?
I think so. I mean, I think if you're a fan of the NBA and maybe you don't have much leanings towards college basketball, if you know your team, at least like a New York Knicks or Atlanta Hawks, are going to be towards the bottom of that NBA lottery, then you're basically scouting out what your future could look like. And so that adds level of excitement that if you're not affiliated with any of the colleges actually playing.
Okay, 30 seconds. The Hawks' poor showing means Atlanta will have a high draft pick for June. College players you'd like to see help the Hawks?
Zion Williamson, please.
John Morant, bring him in from Murray State.
All right, we'll let you guys duke it out from here. Ross Terrell, sorry, I said Duke.
Yeah, that was
and
nice.
Taylor Gant. But to us, there are morning edition favorite producer and reporter and on Second Thought sports folks, and we really appreciate them joining us. And that is our show for today on Second Thought, produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, LaRaven Taylor, and Amelia Brock. Alec Kaslow is our engineer. Amy Kiley is our senior producer. We'll be back with more tomorrow of On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for listening.